Welcome back to the 3-on-3 Sports Podcast. We have a menage a trois today. Kieran is back as always.
Hello.
And from the doldrums of the podcast archive, he joined me maybe 2 years ago, I want to say, Matt Lisey from where in Texas?
Beautiful Midland, Texas.
No. It wasn't even Midland, Texas. It was...
No, I'm in Midland now. I was in Barnhart earlier.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Well, Barnhart, we all know where that is. It's nowhere.
I had to come back to the city for this, Ben.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is a big deal. You need to have cell phone coverage.
That's right.
So pretty much Matt's on the show this week because he went to the Broncos game. So he has an insider perspective as to what the attitude is around the team, what the fans are thinking, why everyone's going so crazy. Well, we know why, because, you know, we win every week, and we shouldn't win every week. We'll touch on a little bit of NFL game lines, you know, the usual. But let's just jump into it. Broncos only won by 3 points. Spread was 3.5, Kieran. We messed that one up again.
Yeah, I'm never listening to you ever again. I feel like every time that you suggest a bet to me, we lose it.
I told you we were going to win by 3 also, but I felt like we should just put it down anyway.
Yeah, there's no way that we were ever going to win that game by anything other than 3 points. That's just the way it happens.
I was kind of banking on the safety, you know, maybe something like that. But
the over-under for total points, like 3.5?
Well, I mean, if you got the under in the first half, what was that like watching a 0-0 game? Because to me, watching it on TV, it didn't feel that boring. But what was it like being there, Matt?
No, I didn't think it was that boring either. Some of the people around me seemed to think so. But, you know, every like eighth play, there was a punt to Devin Hester. So that kind of kept me in it.
Yeah, that's always true. And then, I mean, Tebow was hitting people on their hands. You know, Demaryius Thomas had a touchdown that he dropped and... He didn't even drop it. He just let it go through his hands.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm hater-in-chief when it comes to Tim Tebow.
Right.
But he actually played pretty well.
He killed it, especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, his actual quarterback numbers, you know, like passes per attempt and yardage and touchdowns, like all that good stuff that normal quarterbacks do. That was like, oh, hey, he's a regular quarterback.
Yeah, and he should have had another touchdown in there and certainly some more yards. I mean, he should have thrown for 300 yards if his receivers had been there to help him out.
What is it about the fourth quarter, though, that he can pass so much better than in the rest of the game? I mean, is it the prevent defense or is it...
Yes.
Yes, you think so?
Yes, it's obvious. It's the cover two. It was so obvious Chicago laid up at the end of the game. Especially when all we need to do is get in field goal range.
Well, which was midfield. I tweeted during the game that, this overtime is just a contest to who can cross midfield first.
Because
both kickers had proven they could kick it from almost 60.
And as we were expected, Devin Hester get them across, and they score a touchdown when he does.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the Bears let Tebow just drop it off, for 5 yard passes that any of us could make, and then, you know, let Jeremiah Johnson run underneath for a bunch of yards when field goal range.
Well, no, you're just talking about one play, though. He was throwing downfield.
Yes, and no, how many? He didn't complete anything over 15 yards, did he? Actual passes.
Maybe at 15 yards. I didn't notice runs after the catch being, or yards after the catch being that big of a deal for, you know, like his, like padding his passing stats. I mean, it was.
No. Really only the Willis catch, the final big play before the kick to tie it, I believe.
Yeah.
Was the only one after catch. But, yeah. I mean, he played well nonetheless.
Yeah. I think the point that we're tiptoeing around is that Tim Tebow is the greatest thing that's ever happened to football. I mean, we can just go ahead and write that down now, can't we? What are we gonna engrave on the Super Bowl trophy that we win? Like, what... Is he going to sign it himself? Like, are they going to rename the trophy the Tebow Trophy? It's got a better sound than the Lombardi Trophy.
Well,
these are things that we need to figure out. And we need to figure out fast because we only have a couple more weeks until Tebow is making $100 million and he's the next best thing to Joe Montana.
Speaking of weird Tim Tebow stories, did you hear he was, not accused, but there's a rumor that he was dating Lindsey Vonn? And that her marriage is going down because of it.
Really?
Yeah,
I refuse to believe that.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. But I saw that it was denied immediately.
I never saw
any sort of rumor for it. I just said that it was denied by whoever. It was already out there and denied by the time I finally saw it, you know?
I thought Tebow had taken a vow of celibacy. So there's no way that is true, Ben.
Well, you can still date, I guess. I don't know how people do it.
No, he's like a priest. No.
Like straight up.
Like,
nothing.
Yeah, no pussy for him ever.
Yeah, or only date. Those little children.
Like that.
Or
so that Friar Tuck,
Friar
Tuck haircut that he got his rookie year in training camp was
exactly.
Yeah, he actually did that himself.
Yes, he requested it. That's what my insiders are telling me.
That's brilliant. So Broncos are 8-5, first place in the AFC West. This is a different first place than the 8-5. If you remember 3 years ago, we started out 6-0 and. Yeah, I finished 8-8. We were 8-5 at one point in that season, and
no, we were 8-5 that season.
Were we? No, wait, I'm mixing up. Maybe 5 years.
No, that's entirely possible. Just that entire, even when we were 6-0, it felt like we were 2-10.
We went 6-0, then we lost 4 straight games, then we won a couple, and then just lost out again.
Yeah.
Right. Well, whatever the season that the Chargers were 4-8, they came back and won the division at 8-8.
Right.
Might be mixing up two separate years. But, you know, the thought with a record in that of that caliber is, well, I hope we don't lose it, or I hope, you know, we can at least show up in the playoffs. And this year it's like 8-5, you know, the 4 seed. Maybe we might play the Steelers or the Ravens in the first round. It's like, all right, hit me. Let's do this. Like, get at me, Pittsburgh.
I don't feel – first of all – how are we even going to stay close against the Patriots? Because there's no way that we're going to hold them to under 20 points.
As soon as Von Miller, A, puts the crown of his helmet in Tom Brady's back, and B, punches Tom Brady with his club hand, I think, you know, he'll be a little woozy, so we can get him that way. And B, the Patriots historically play like crap against the Broncos.
Tom Brady, I believe, is 1-6.
I suppose this is when we see if Josh McDaniels' plan worked or not.
Yes, this is the test. Absolutely.
I mean, I could picture this game being like the game that when we played them in 2009 when we had those awesome uniforms, the brown ones.
Oh, yes, the McDaniels fist pump game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. I think that is going to be the game.
What do they have? How many points do the Broncos have to get to? Do we have to score 27?
I think we can score as many as we scored against the Vikings.
That's kind of what I was thinking, because the defenses will probably be similar.
Mid-30s, the defense is going to play to not get beat on a play. You know, just, you know, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us with 8-yard passes over and over and over again. But... yeah, I want to see how we play against an offense. I mean, we played against freaking Caleb Haney without Matt Forte, you know, with the Bears. So their two best offensive players, Jay Cutler and Matt Forte, were out. And, you know, the return of Caleb Haney to Colorado from, you know, his days at CSU, the overlooked story.
Can I just say, I actually heard an analyst mention that might give him an edge leading up to the game, and I feel like that was the dumbest thing I've maybe ever heard anyone
an
say.
Edge or less of a
an edge, because he has played over, I guess, an advantage.
Well, and he's played in that stadium before.
It's not basketball where, you know, the fans will be doing stuff behind the hoop, man. Shut up and play football.
And yeah, Jay Cutler, I really wonder if there was any animosity animosity towards him? Were people trying to scout him out on the sidelines and scream at him?
Oh, which might, you know, for the first three quarters of the game, there were two highlights for me. One was the flyover, and two was a full-grown 250-pound man wearing a Jay Cutler Broncos jersey with a baby bonnet, a huge pacifier, and a diaper on. And he was standing at the front gate with people asking to take his picture.
So, yeah, he was like one of those entertainers in Vegas.
Yeah, pretty much. He was giving away free pictures. It was that was worth the price of admission.
Huh. All right, I guess people aren't over it yet. Although I do like Cutler. I kind of do feel bad for him this year because this was his year. He was finally turning around. He was finally being new Jay Cutler, leader guy, and then he hurts his finger.
Can you imagine if we had the offense we had his last year here with our current defense? Then no. we'd be catching 10-3 teams.
I didn't really know our defense was good until Tebow started playing. I don't know what their deal was when Orton, or maybe it was just because John Fox's system took some time to figure out because they didn't have an off season to implement anything because of the lockout. I think that's kind of something that's been overlooked. So playoff seeding. Currently Broncos are projected as the 4 seed. Do you think we can catch any of the 10-3 teams? I mean, we play the Patriots, but it's also the Steelers, Ravens, and Texans. You know, you would just think that the Texans would be the most logical because they have a third-string quarterback, T.J. Yates, playing for them, but they're pretty solid, and he led them to last-second victory against the Bengals last week. I honestly think it could be the Patriots.
No, we cannot catch any of them.
Why not?
No, we're not gonna catch anybody. No, because all of those teams they've all hit their stride, and we have no ground to make up on them if they're not gonna lose.
Well, exactly. Unless we beat the Patriots and win out.
I don't see that happening. But
uh-oh. Old man Matt just dropped out. He'll be back on in a moment.
That's all right.
Let's talk crap about him real quick.
Matt's such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Oh God, he's got 2 T's right next to each other in his first name. What, does he think he's better than me?
Yeah, well, you realize his name is now Matthew because he graduated college and he has a big job.
Do we have to call him Mr. Lizzy?
Well, when he gets back on, let's play nice.
Okay, I refuse to refer to you as Mr. Thomas.
That's fine.
That just sounds weird. Can I call you Mr. Spen?
That
makes you sound like my creepy neighbor.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, since he's gone, we can talk about Spurs. You watched this weekend, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 2-1 loss to Stoke. Then I checked the standings and realized Stoke was pretty good, so I wasn't that disappointed, but they have enemy of the pod Peter Crouch on their team, and
oh, God.
And I guess the ref in their back pocket, because there were 3 handballs by Stoke in the second half.
Yeah, that was insane. Right. I was watching that, and the feed that I was watching it online through had a Spanish announcer. And he was going crazy, and I feel like watching a game like that, the Spanish announcer is the voice that I hear in my head if I had to personify my feelings, because that's how angry I am, but I just can't express it quickly enough,
nice.
So it just becomes Spanish.
Well, I mean, I was watching in crystal clear HD on Fox Soccer, because Comcast was nice enough to finally give us that channel in HD.
Nice.
You know, hey, praise Comcast. Anyway, Matt, you're back on. We're talking about soccer now.
Thank you for doing that while I was gone.
Yeah, well, we were also talking crap about you, so now you have to. You have to listen to it. You have to go back and listen to it from the top just to hear what we said about you.
Yeah,
Spurs missed a chance to continue their unbeaten streak. They haven't lost since the second game of the season, so you know, I'll take it in stride. I still wasn't that mad. It's still a good. I can't really get that angry or that happy at 9 in the morning on a Sunday when I'm typically hungover a little bit, you know, watching a soccer game when it's just me. I want to be at I got to find a group to watch these games with.
You need to find the local pub that's a soccer place.
All right, well, first of all, Boulder has no sports scene. On Monday, I go into work, and we have a Monday morning meeting, and I just say, so did anyone watch the Broncos game? And then somebody says, oh, is that like the Denver team? And I was like, wow. I said, yes. They came back again in the fourth. Oh, yeah, I think I heard something about them doing really well lately.
Ugh.
Yeah, we've won 6 games in a row with the baby Jesus playing quarterback. It's kind of a big deal. And people think that it's a big deal just in Colorado. No, it's a national story. If you watch Bob Costas, his dissertation on Tim Tebow during halftime of the Sunday night game last week. It's brilliant. Check it out. I might post it up there. I know you're a Costas fan, Matt.
Yeah, Bob is normally brilliant.
Yeah, he used a word I hadn't heard before, but when I heard it, I knew exactly what it meant. I don't know how he can do it, but
no, he does. I mean, my vocabulary has never increases tenfold once every 2 years when the Olympics are on.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And he's always next to a fire, even if he's at an NFL stadium. Sometimes they have a nice little fire next to him.
They bring it in. They just CGI it.
Even when he's interviewing Jerry Sandusky, like the most serious interview you could possibly have. It's like a fire. And you're like, you know what? I trust you, Bob Costas.
That's what it must have been like to grow up in the 40s with FDR, right? And these fireside chats.
Yeah. Or who is the guy, the most trusted man in America? He was a guy on TV.
Edward R. Murrow?
Sure.
I think so.
Yeah, but that's... So. That's here, I'll look that up real quick while you guys yell at each other. Matt, if you want to real quickly, you told me about a little side piece you wanted to bring to the pod. If you want to bring that up now, it's...
Oh, yeah, I have a segment idea. Completely different. It's called That's Fucked Up. So take Mike Ditka's Stop It with Jacked Up. From,
Walter Cronkite.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I bet. All right, continue.
So combine Stop It with Jacked Up from a couple years ago, and add a little pop culture. Spen, will you just inform everyone of the study you were...
Oh, sure. All right, so I have the headline right here. Saudi Arabia, women driving makes people gay, divorced, and more.
Boom, there you go. And then today... just minding my own business in Barnhart, Texas, and what comes across my news feed? A woman in Saudi Arabia was beheaded yesterday for practicing witchcraft.
Yep.
Done. That's fucked up.
Read too much Harry Potter, I guess.
You know, that'll do it.
I mean,
are we positive that she wasn't just beheaded for being a woman?
No, I mean... That's the risk you run when you decide to be a woman in an Arab country.
It's her own fault for being the wrong gender.
Yeah, done. Allah hates her.
Although this was not mentioned in the report because it says lifting the ban on female driving will cause a surge in prostitution, pornography, homosexuality, and divorce. It does not mention witchcraft, so I guess they must have missed that in their research.
No,
not a thorough report.
I miss newspapers being able to just print anything that they think could be news, like with no backing to it. Like that's there's a Family Guy episode where gay people turn like straight people gay and gay people Mexican. Have you heard that? I mean, I want to see more news stories like that. Let's go to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Moving on to, let's do some NFL game lines real quick here. And I didn't really see anything I liked this week. Nothing stood out.
That means that I saw a lot of good stuff I liked.
All right.
Let's go.
Hit me.
First of all, how good do you think the Falcons are?
I think they suck. I like the Jags in that game.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
hold
the
on.
Falcons are terrible.
What?
How much is Atlanta favored by?
11.
11.
Oh, no one beats Jacksonville by 11, even when Jacksonville's awful, right? You beat Jacksonville by 6.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I feel good about the Jags on that one.
To cover?
And then,
I don't like them to win. That's not
No, not to win. But those are pretty good odds to win. They're plus 475.
So you're saying
there's a chance. This week feels like a good let's spend a ridiculous amount of money on a large 8-team parlay because there's a lot of good teams playing a lot of bad teams.
Do you know what I'll like? I'll like the playoffs when there aren't that many games to choose from, and you can watch each game and you can see your bets play out right in front of you each game versus
this.
I'll give you
our parlay.
Okay, go.
We're going to throw the Packers in there just to give us a little bump in odds. Uh-huh. We're going to take the Jags plus 11.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take, let's see, we're going to take the over on the Panthers and Texans game.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to parlay that with the Cardinals over the Browns. That seems like there's enough weird teams and weird things.
I do like the Cardinals over the Browns. That's good. What was the Panthers-Texans, really?
The Panthers run up the score, and
Texans
I feel
have
like
a good defense.
Yeah, well, the Texans are the Texans, and Matt being in Texas doesn't help it.
No, yeah.
All right, I mean, sure.
That's as much reasoning as I need, Sven. When have I ever had a good reason to bet on anything?
Well, you're addicted to it. That's your good reason.
Yeah, well, I can't be addicted to it if I'm good at it.
Are you?
No, I'm not. I'm just waiting for basketball season. This is all just me treading water.
You can't be addicted to something if you're good at it?
It's not gambling if you know you're going to win. I think that's what he's trying to say.
Okay, Matt, that's
not what I'm trying to say. Matt, I learned a long time ago, if you give your reasons quickly enough, if you say them fast enough and just move on, people can't really question you on it. So you just keep talking.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, they didn't teach that at Gonzaga, did they?
No.
The Bulldogs, Matt, I'm giving you a chance right now to plug Gonzaga. Tell me what's happening and why I should care. All right, you don't have to tell me why I should care, but you can tell me why what's happening.
Well, they're kind of sucking.
Oh yeah.
I'll give you some. For what seems to be the 30th season in a row, they're ranked, and for no good reason at all. They're consistently one of the worst ranked teams I've ever seen. I feel like they just like the NCAA just feels like they need to rank somebody in the Northwest, and since no other Washington team is good, they're like, Gonzaga's always pretty good, aren't they? Yeah, just put them in like 23 or something.
Yeah.
You're supposed to defend
that.
Your team in battle. You guys are supposed to be rivals. So Washington State, Gonzaga.
Okay. Well, yeah, not really like that. Sorry, but I will say they're overranked in the preseason frequently because they're always ranked. They drop out and then they come back. And if you look at the tournament, they generally end up being one of the best 25 teams in the country.
And then lose to teams like Davidson.
Well, that year they were not one of the best 25.
That's a privilege to lose to Davidson and Stephen Curry, especially that year, Kieran.
And
you watch your mouth.
Let's not forget typical East Coast bias. Let's just make the team from the West Coast fly 6 hours to play the lower-seeded team who takes an hour bus ride to play their game.
Yeah, well, we have West Coast bias on this podcast. It's pretty good.
Yeah, well, I like it.
We had that's fine. Well, the east to west ratio was 2 east, 1 west last week, and so we tried to get the perception of the West and Colorado from the eastern perspective, and why the SEC are a bunch of dicks. So really delved into that. I don't know if you checked it out, Matt.
They're good though, Spen. The SEC.
Yeah. So is Boise State. All right. Well.
Oh no, they.
Big East.
Big East.
You're talking my language. We're on the East Coast now, Boise.
All right. So here's the last thing I think we need to touch on. Broncos win the Super Bowl. We all have to do something, like shave our heads or get a tattoo or do something that is very regretful but great at the same time.
Spen, I'm going to segue for a second. Our odds last week, if you remember, were 2,500 to 1.
The Broncos, yeah. It's 18 to 1, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 18 now, yeah.
Or it wasn't 2,500 to 1. It was 25 to
1. Yeah, it was plus 2,500. I got my things mixed up. But anyways, I digress.
So,
18
tattoo?
18 to 1. That seems... Yeah, tattoo. I'll get a Bronco head on my left cheek.
Okay.
Ass cheek. There you go.
That's fine. Can I just get the baby Jesus, Tebow himself, on my left?
Yeah.
With maybe an American flag on the right?
How about a Florida?
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah, we just lost all the listeners. Sorry.
Man.
Had to throw it out there. Had to. Sorry. Sacrilegious of my bad. My bad. Merry Christmas, everyone.
I'll keep that one on the DL. You know, if I were to share that down here in God's country, they would shoot me up and call me a queer.
I'm just saying. It'd be
More news from Texas for you along those lines. Had an awesome, awesome Pentecostal preacher on the radio today on their like main station here talking about the unbelievers and how we should not give Christmas presents.
Really?
That's how I was welcomed to Midland, Texas.
Why can't we give Christmas presents?
That's because the unbelievers don't know what the season is about, Spen.
Oh, well, that's not fair.
Come on, you heathen.
Well, capitalism, man. We live in America. What sort of... He's on a radio station. That's technology. That's capitalism at its finest. That radio station would not have existed if somebody didn't grab life by the horns.
Good job of just throwing in that random statement, the grab life by the horns.
It's brought to you by Dodge.
No, friend of Dodge.
Neither friend nor foe, just a person of the pod. Well, I think this one can go down as our worst podcast yet.
It's pretty close. I mean, it's good. It's a good bad one.
Yeah, I think so.
Besides that one when I was getting struck by lightning for half of it, if you remember that.
Yeah, that was good. And wasn't there one where... Oh, yeah, that's right. You had the fire.
Yeah.
What?
My apartment kept trying to set itself on fire a couple months ago.
Yeah, it's chill, though. Don't worry about it.
All right,
guys. Well, this has been fun. It's been an adventure.
It's been something.
Well, yeah, it's been something. Matt, I'll bring you back on at some point.
Yes.
Earn that. And if you want to write a guest article, you're more than welcome to.
I just might.
You know, you can ramble about anything. Anyway, this has been the 303 Sports Podcast. Tune in next week for @spend_CR, @KLMcGuire303. And Matt, you got a new Twitter?
I do.
You have to send her follow requests, so don't worry about it.
Next time.
This has been the 303 Sports Podcast. See you later.